Please sit down. Those of us who were here last Sunday will remember that Piers gave us a very clear account of the spiritual gifts and how we are to use them for the benefit of the whole congregation. I want, in a sense, to start from there this morning and move on. Because what Piers was talking about was that, something for the congregation. Wouldn't make a lot of sense to those outside. But what happens when we go outside those doors? What happens then? I want to look at that a little bit this morning. But I want to begin by telling you something about something that happened a long time ago, shortly after I finished my training as a reader. I trained with a group in Gravesend in Kent. And a year or two after we finished, the vicar who'd run the course there rang me up. He said, "We've got somebody coming to speak this Sunday afternoon. Would you like to come?" So I went along. And I can still remember what we were told that day. The speaker was the Bishop of Alaska. I think he was over in London for, you know, one of these synod-type gatherings, Lambeth Conference or something. And the vicar had managed to get hold of him, because he had an hour or two spare on a Sunday afternoon, to come and talk to us. A very modest, unassuming man. But what he told us was quite fascinating. And bear in mind, this was 30-odd years ago, I think. He came to tell us about their experience in Alaska. Now, that might, on a hot day like today, that might not sound very relevant to Ely. Bear with it, and you'll see that we have certain things in common. Like all good things, it started with a problem. And the problem was quite simple. They not only had run out of clergy, but they kept on running out of clergy in Alaska. There were never enough to go around. And it was getting serious. So they started looking at why. And it wasn't a problem with recruitment. It wasn't a problem with training. They'd got enough coming in. The problem was they were disappearing. They would come, stay for a couple of years, and then they'd be gone. Generally to a diocese somewhere else, a bit further south and a bit warmer. But they looked a little more closely at the problem, and it became clear what it was. Alaska, large area, small communities, all spread out. If you think we've got a problem with East Anglian villagers, try Alaska. Clergy were finding themselves doing more and more and more of these small communities. Now, that's difficult enough. Now factor in the climate. You know, how many snowdrifts can you fight your way through on a Sunday to get round the churches, was the challenge. And what was happening was clergy were taking these on, and after a couple of years they were thinking, stuff this, you know. They were spending all their lives struggling to get to places. They never had time to meet people. You know, it was all a struggle to get round. And so, not surprisingly, they gave up. So the bishop and the leaders in the diocese said, look, there's got to be a better way of doing things. It's got to change. We can't just go on putting more and more resources into it. So they sat down and they thought very hard, prayed an awful lot, and they came up with a project. Now, you come up with a project, you give it a title. You have to, don't you? So they called this one TEAM, T-E-A-M. Basic idea was, at one level, was quite simple. In each of these small communities, they looked at what the vicar did, or what he was expected to do, which was sometimes a great deal more. So, his roles within the church at East, let's look at those first, were, you know, to be able to lead services, take the communion, preach, pastoral care for the sick, administration, you know, so on. Fine, okay. Now let's divide all these up. And let's look at each community and say, can we find one person in that community who can do one bit of the job? One to lead services, one to preach, one to do the admin, one to do that. All around. Because if we can do that, these churches can function as they are. You don't have to get the vicar going round five or six churches on a Sunday. They can work. They didn't get rid of the vicars, by the way. Nobody was made redundant in this process. But those churches could survive not just 1 week, but 2 weeks, 3 weeks, if the vicar didn't make it. Well, as you can imagine, it was a challenge, but they did it. And yes, even to the point, and this is not my topic for this morning, this is another day, but even to the point where they had to agree to ordain somebody in each congregation to do the communion. But let's come back to what I'm talking about. They got these set up. And it worked well. The clergy now found that instead of running round frantically trying to get to all these different communities, they became enablers, trainers, encouragers, leaders, who could go around at a much more manageable pace, support, encourage, build up the communities that were there. It became much more a supporting, overall leadership role. Much more manageable. Much less stressful. And, yeah, clergy numbers came up and stabilised. So, yes, to that end, it was successful. But I want to move it on now, because that's still about within the church, isn't it? Largely. When they did this, though, this team project, they had the vision to make it bigger. Because, you see, team not only has that meaning, but like all good titles for project, it stood for something. It was an acronym. And it was an acronym for Teach Each a Ministry. Let me say that again. Teach Each a Ministry. And the aim was, within those communities, to teach everybody to find their ministry. Whether it was one of the official ones leading the front or not, didn't matter. The aim was to encourage everybody to see that they had a ministry. They weren't an audience, they were part of it. They had some role to play. Now, I can hear some of you already saying, I can't do that. And a lot of them said that as well. And some of them with very good reasons. There were those who were looking after elderly members of the family, young children, very busy, you know, getting to church at all was quite an achievement, let alone any sort of other ministry. They said, no, stop. If you're in that situation, perhaps that's your ministry. Don't stop thinking at the church door, think out. When you get out there, what you're doing, is that your ministry? Yeah, somebody who ran a local youth club, very demanding ministry. Somebody who did fairly simple jobs, didn't matter. Ministry. Ministry is about service. You know, this thing, this question, it's gone a bit out of date now. I'm getting old. But the question that had been asked, are you going into the ministry? Now, we all, some of the older ones among us know what we meant by that question, don't we? That's not what ministry's about. Ministry's about all of us. We all have a ministry. We all have ministry to do with serving. We all serve. And what they encouraged these congregations to do was to look beyond the church doors, to see ministry as a thing which just went out on and spread outwards to everybody. The interesting thing, not only did this team project solve the shortage of clergy, but congregations actually started growing. Work out why, but congregations started growing. And what I want us to do this morning is just look at how that might work for us. The idea that ministry doesn't stop at those doors there. Ministry is something we all do for the rest of the week when we go out of it. Now, at that point, everybody, I can think, well, I haven't got anything I do. You know, I'm not that important. I don't do this. There are some clues in our readings this morning to a ministry all of us can have. You can work out for yourself where it is specifically for you. I can't do that for you. But I can give you some guidance. Our gospel reading, all about forgiveness, the need to forgive. And we live in a world, don't we, where forgiveness is in very short supply. A world where people demand their rights. And if they don't get what they think they ought to have, they sue somebody for it. There's not a lot of forgiveness out there these days. Not a lot of compassion. Can we all go out there and take forgiveness, compassion to those we meet this week? If we do, we'll be providing a very important service to them. The other reading has forgiveness as well, interestingly. It makes it again. But it gives us a longer list this time. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. That's where it comes again. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. I want you to just think for a moment. Where are you going to be this week? Who are you going to meet? I can answer that question for myself. But, well, roughly, apart from the extra ones that turn up unannounced. But you can answer it for yourself. Can you go out there this week and share forgiveness, compassion, love, all those other virtues there? Share those with those people you're going to meet. That's quite apart from the other practical things and the other things you can do for those people. Perhaps each of us has a mission out there this week. You've got to work out what yours is. Now, I don't want to twist anybody's arms, put too much pressure on anybody. But just one last point. There will be a group of people you meet out there that nobody else from here is going to meet. Friends of yours, family, whoever it is. We can't come round and talk to them, the rest of us. Chris certainly isn't going to try and get round them all this week to talk to them. That doesn't work either. that was the Alaska problem. He's not going to do it. You're the only one that can do it. So that's your mission. Let's go out of here today and look for our mission field out there among those we meet this week, next week, whenever it is. Amen.